You're listening to the New Old Heads podcast, shot live every Tuesday at twitch.tv/newoldheads and released every Thursday at noon via bringingdowntheband.com. The show is brought to you by Coleman Dental, Printfinity, Indie CD and Vinyl. Support the show directly by becoming a member at patreon.com/newoldheads.
You are now tuned in to the New Old Heads podcast. I am Major 7th, and I'm surrounded by greatness as always, starting off with my man Jay Moore. How are you, sir?
Doing well. Got a chance to make my way back to St. Louis for a couple days, see some friends, see some family. It was my my parents' 50th wedding anniversary.
Congratulations to them.
Yeah, man. So had a nice party and saw a lot of folks I haven't seen in quite a while. So it was a good time.
Yeah, sounds good. Congratulations to them again. That's that real love.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Years. Yeah, 50 years, man.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
a long time.
That's older than, everybody in here.
You know, you think about 50 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Doing anything, you yeah. know.
Is anybody else here married?
Yeah, oh, right man. On. Yeah, recently.
I'm about to be on 8 tomorrow.
Eight. Okay. Yeah, oh, congratulations to you and your wife. Yeah, that's awesome.
Congrats. Yeah, it's
still here, baby.
Hey, man.
It's a big deal. I'm only at like 3 months, so you
okay.
know.
Okay.
He a rookie. We got to talk about that later.
Yeah.
Look,
I got some game for you, brother.
Look,
please put him on game.
Look, I had a friend of mine, you know, who I remember is my best friend, and I didn't realize this is kind of an insulting, messed up question to ask somebody, but I said, "Hey, man, do you like being married?" And he said, "Oh, yes, I couldn't imagine my life without my wife, you know, because it could have went another way." I could see where he might have been somewhat offended that I asked him, "Do you like being married?"
Right.
You know, but he had a real honest answer for me, and, you know, he and
That's
his wife.
That's a good grown folks answer right there.
But he and his wife are still together. He said, "It's not perfect. I mean, like, you know, one of the things that ruins more relationships and marriages is the expectation that you're always supposed to be happy."
Right. That's not realistic.
Yeah. So, I mean, you ask somebody who's been married 20 years, and you ask them, do follow up questions. Ask how many of them been good.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? They might tell you, yeah, 18.
Hey, don't be putting salt in Lone's mind. He's
but,
just getting
you know,
out the,
I mean, like,
gate,
like I said,
man.
Marriages are grown folks. So, salute to everybody who's doing it like that.
Yes, sir.
We'll take it, man.
Speaking of Lone, how are you, sir?
Doing great, man. Thanks for asking.
It's going to be
you answered your question.
That was me answering the question, man. I
want more sometimes, but
you know,
you can't force people to be who they're not. That's rude.
I'm a pretty direct person, you know. So if you got something specific, I'll answer it.
I know.
Whatever you got.
Oh, I know. I know. We have a special guest today filling in for J Diff. I call this man he's a former Purdue music producer. He's a philanthropist, is what I call him.
I'll take gas.
Yeah, I'm putting it out there. He's one of those people that you have. Every crew, every city has that one person that has the connections. That is the person that is connected and loved by everybody. This is that person. Like, he's the one person that I know.
Man of the people.
Man of the people.
Exactly.
He's one of those people that I can be like, hey, if you're in Indianapolis, go find him. He'll get you taken care of, get you squared away, especially as it relates to music and arts and things of that nature. So, my man Jay Brookins, how are you, sir?
Man, I'm doing really good, bro. I'm feeling good.
You're a return guest, too. You've been with us.
Yeah. Yes. I feel like I'm a little Jay Diff. You know, whenever you guys need a Kanye stan.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I come in. I always make time for that. But feeling real good, man. Glad to be with y'all brothers, man. Got mad respect for y'all, bro.
We appreciate you filling in as always. And that's a good point. The Kanye thing kind of just slides over when you come in.
Yeah, for Terry. No Kanye topics. Not this time.
I mean, he acting a fool out here in these streets.
Yeah, bro. I got nothing to defend him.
You sure?
Yeah.
Oh, you said nothing to defend him.
I can't defend him no more, bro.
Wow.
he's gone too far, even for me.
He's I've been seeing tweets and threats and threatening elderly people and...
Wait, what? Right.
Yeah, man.
He's wilding. He's wilding out.
He's threatening
man.
Elderly people?
Well, I ain't gonna say. Is 60? Which was is 60?
60, 70. Look,
is that elder? You close to being?
You've been getting your AARP
all right.
Benefits
this,
for quite a while.
Who's the 67-year-old?
His mother-in-law.
Former.
Oh, former wow. mother-in-law. Yeah, he's mad because the kids can't. They don't want the kids to go to Donda Academy, and she's been exploiting him for all this time, and the family's just exploits Scott and who am I missing? Travis Scott and
Tristan
Thompson and all them. It's just the family's been exploiting them, and he's mad about it now.
When you got enough, I feel like he's got so much money that he just completely eliminated his OGs around him, right? Like
100%.
To me, it's like, shouldn't you have somebody around you to be like, hey,
put the phone down?
You tripping.
Right.
You know, you need to kind of chill out or do something like that. I feel like he doesn't have like anybody around him like that, but I mean,
because he's in a position where he feels like, who can tell me anything? Do they have $1 billion?
Exactly.
Then they need to be quiet.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was Reinfest till I saw the documentary and towards the end, and
he was sitting
Reinfest
on the ground.
Was sitting in the corner like, yeah, that's it. That's it. I'm like, this is not it, bro. This is not it. You know it in your soul. This is not it. But y'all let him cook. So, all right. You know, he's a billionaire.
Billionaire.
But nah, he been tripping, man. Adidas tried to play him. No, I'm not to his. I'm going to give him his P's for that. They tried to play him, took one of his designs, and tried to make a bootleg version of it. You know, the Yeezys have their own. Uh-oh, Jay Moore, you look.
No, I mean, I first of all, once again, I buy my shoes from Shoe Carnival. I don't know.
I get mine from Kenny Shoes.
Anything Stop, about no. this culture. All I know is, like, I've never. Everybody I know who got some Yeezys, they knew somebody to get them. Yeah. Like, I
he got some good design. Now, I ain't all of them. The majority of them trash, in my opinion. But he got some good designs.
No, those ones that look like spaceships from the video game Halo. I'm cool on those.
He got some good. He got some heat though.
The ones with the holes in them.
Yeah,
I heard they
look like Covenant ships.
You talking about the slides?
I guess that's what they are. I don't.
They
you
look
know,
like what?
Like if you were for my gamer folks out there, you know what I'm saying? That's what the first thing I thought. I said
Did you say Covenant ships?
Yeah, that's the name of the
can somebody send me a picture of a Covenant ship?
That's the name of the enemies in Halo.
Okay, well,
but you know, once again, I don't know anything about
billionaire
the shoe culture. Once again, I'm weak to weak, baby. I don't know anything about these are rich people problems. I do not involve myself in.
Is that the Covenant ship right there?
Look at the Covenant ship.
Wow.
That's exactly what they look
that
like.
That is what they look like. Just need a few more holes. Okay.
Yeah, so
none of y'all are sneakerheads?
I'm a sneakerhead. I don't think the whole Kanye line is crazy. Now, he got some heat, but
look,
it ain't enough for me to be like, yeah, I'm going to go spend $400 on these shoes. I'm cool.
Look, I you know, because I know I have some friends who are sneakerheads. Like, that is their thing.
Jay Diff is a huge sneakerhead.
You know,
sure.
And so I asked about, like, Jordans. I said, well, are they at least comfortable shoes? And they said, well, it depends on which ones you get. Because I'm like, for the amount of money, these, you know, because I'm in that old person space where I'm like, for that amount of money, they better, you know, be really comfortable. You know, same thing with the first time I saw this. But this is how bad, this
right
is how
here.
Much I'm not a sneakerhead. Yeah. Is like, I saw the Yeezys on something. I was like, hey, they look like sweatpants for your feet. So I thought, man, I'd like to have a pair of those. So I carry my goofy ass up to Lafayette Square Mall, and I'm like, hey, do y'all got some of those Kanye West shoes? And they were like, they looked at me like I was crazy. And I
was like, this dude is old.
Not knowing that for me to just think I can walk into the mall and buy some of these Adidas that he makes, they had a reason to look at me like I was crazy. Mm-hmm. You know, and
you
plus, like, even if they had them there, I wasn't going to pay that for them. Yeah. Like I said, I just wanted some sweatpants for my feet. And so I took Shoe Carnival's right around the corner. I spun the wheel.
They still got those?
They still spun the wheel.
Yeah, this one up north.
Yes. Wow. I spun the wheel, and I found a pair of shoes I like for $39.95, and I kept it moving.
You get any socks?
No, I had socks.
Y'all see the comments with Fat Joe getting dragged because he said Puerto Ricans were hip-hop founders and it wasn't just black people? Did y'all see that?
Yeah, I saw that.
People
That's wild.
People were dragging him for that, man. And I've always been under the impression that, you know, the Puerto Ricans was in the park when they were DJing and throwing the block parties as well. But I've always been under the assumption that it was founded, you know, by black folks in the park, if that makes sense.
In Cedric Avenue by Kool Herc.
Thank you.
You know, so
that's what I've always been told. But
Afrika Bambaataa came up with the term hip hop.
Thank you. Hip-hop. Thank you. Shout out to Sly. That's what I've always been told or always been taught, or that's how I've come up. But they were dragging Joe.
What did Joe say though? That the Puerto Ricans were around, or
he was making it seem like it was a coal.
Oh,
creation.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
And I've never heard that story.
It had to have been, though, right? Like, that's...
I mean,
Jamaicans were around. Puerto Ricans was around.
Yeah,
like, it's,
but, you know...
But the origin, though, I think is to what Jay Moore is talking about.
He's not trying to...
This is the thing, and I understand because...
That's a touchy subject.
You know, New York is such a melting pot, and plus, right. this is probably going to make, you know, a few of our poor... You know, those who are not... have that knowledge of self, but you can't even make a Puerto Rican without African blood. So,
that's tough.
You know, a lot of you, just because your great, great, great grandmother was done dirty by someone who spoke Spanish and mine was done dirty by somebody who spoke English, that doesn't make you that much different than me.
Mm.
So, you know, when you talk about the founders, we can name these people. We can talk about Afrika Bambaataa actually naming the culture. We can talk about Kool Herc. And that, you know, even if you go back a little bit further, like, see, the thing is, there are things that that hip hop clearly drew from. Mm-hmm. You know, when you talk, like, a lot of people don't know about, there's a comedian named Pig Meat Markham.
Yeah.
Okay, and if you don't know who that is, do your research. I remember my father had one of his albums.
That's old school.
And when you listen to that, you could hear the cadences. It wasn't to music. There wasn't no breakdancing involved, but you can see where there was that was rap, or the origins, or maybe some of the influences of rap. When you listen to, you know, when you're talking about even somebody like not Scatman Carruthers. He was in a Janet Jackson video. I should know it. All right, older.
Oh man!
Oh my goodness! I'm gonna get killed exactly. for not knowing. But
I should know this.
Yeah, it'll come to me probably as soon as the show is over. Or even when you talk about some of you know what a gospel troubadour is, you know. And like I said, you know, if you want to go into the the history of the black music and Cab Calloway, that's who it
Cab
was.
Cab Calloway. There we go.
The call and response of Cab Calloway. And if you want to go into the things that clearly led up to what hip-hop culture eventually evolved into, these are things that have their roots in gospel, in jazz, in the blues, things that are clearly African-American culture. And I don't think there's this is the thing about hip-hop. We let everybody in. You bring this little piece, come on in, brother. Mm-hmm. You know, but now it's gotten to the point where now everybody wants to claim. Like, I saw some dude, I don't know if he was doing it to be funny or he really wanted.
Probably not.
This dude was like, well, you know, if we're going to talk about that, we got to talk about how Italians helped to. I was like, because, you know, y'all be doing like.
Let's chill with this family tree thing. Now.
You know,
let's calm down,
don't get me wrong. You know, I understand that there are people who have their roots in Puerto Rico, in the West Indies, who were contributors. But when we talk about the lineage of hip hop, it is the lineage that comes from African Americans. And the thing is, that's not to exclude or make anybody feel like they can't be a part of it. Mm-hmm. But we can't all of a sudden have this revisionist history and say, oh, well, you know, actually it was Puerto Ricans who was right there. And like, they were right there. But like, when you the lineage of when you talk about what's happening in the Bronx, because you can't talk about the Bronx and not talk about our Puerto Rican brothers and sisters, because they were right there with us.
That's my whole point.
When you go back and you really look at the lineage and, you know, those break beats and those things that they were cutting up and putting together, that is Black American culture. And that's not to exclude anybody. But I just think that, you know, now that hip hop is hip hop, everybody wants to say, well, you know, we were there too. And you were there. But the lineage of hip hop, and people can get mad at me if you want to, but you can go back to the turn of the century. The lineage comes from African American culture.
There's a difference. The comment is, or the, you know, the way I look at it is, there's a difference between initiating and being involved. That's all. It's like, we're talking about how it was initiated, but we're not excluding the people that were involved after it was initiated. That's all, because to your point, they were in the park rocking. Like, that's documented.
Yeah.
Jamaicans, mm-hmm. Puerto Ricans, whatever. Like, everybody was there rocking, but the actual initiation of it, to what you know, said,
I mean, just to, once again, I like to play White Devil's Advocate.
I was just about to play White Devil's Advocate.
You know, please play White Devil's Advocate. Think about this whenever, well, you know.
Hold on, let the White Devil's Advocate play.
Technically, you know, just think about it. Who created basketball? What's the name?
Dr. James Naismith.
And what is his lineage?
He's white.
Okay, so we can a white man created basketball.
Sure did.
But you know who participates in basketball at a professional level, on a dominant level, if you will? It is people of color. And you know what? I'm not even good. That's a cop out. Black people.
Thank you.
Black people. Mm-hmm. People of color is a complete cop out. I hate that. You know, when we talk about who's participating and who's doing what now, yes, that's true. Everybody's involved. But, you know, if you wanted to say, well, black people did this and we created the slam dunk in the alley. Yeah, but you know what? Who was there at the beginning?
Mm-hmm. Long, talk to me.
You can't erase who was there at the beginning.
You perked up when...
the White Devil's Advocate is that hip-hop only exists because of colonization. And who created that? White people.
Oh, I knew he had something for me.
Now, clarify this for me. Did he say they invented it, or he said that...
I took it as he was saying that they were there when it started, as if it's on some 50-50 type.
Well, rather than just speculating...
Let's go ahead and look it up.
So reading this here, it says it's an article by Hip Hop DX says, Fat Joe is facing social media wrath for comments he made about the origins of hip-hop culture during a recent Instagram Live. He says, thank you for your contribution to hip-hop. The following day, he hopped on Instagram Live, not only to big up DJ Khaled's new God Did album, but also address some of the negative comments. I tell you, I never really F with Twitter, but I go on there to see they always hating on me. He begins around the 52 mark. Lately, they've been talking about Latinos wasn't in rap. These guys are delusional. We're from the Bronx, New York. It happens. This is where hip hop started. It's Latino and black, half and half.
See, that's where.
Jam right back.
Yeah, it's not. Let's not do that, Fat Joe.
But they going at me because I'm the only Spanish dude with a big voice. Like, F that. Latinos wasn't there. You was invited. You are a specimen. I don't know what the F is up with these people that don't know their facts.
I don't think he knows what some of those words mean. Yeah. But you see what I'm saying about 50-50? That's the way he's trying to sell it. Is like, don't be clear.
How many? I mean, you know, Kool Herc is still alive. We can ask him how many Puerto Ricans were there at Cedric Avenue that night.
That's a good point.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm not, like I said, I'm not trying to say it. Once again, it's the Bronx. Puerto Ricans are our brothers. They were there. Mm-hmm. And once again, Puerto Ricans, if you're listening,
we rock
you're African too.
Yeah, we rock with you. Be clear. It's not about that, but we want to get the facts straight. That's all. And they dragged Joe 100% on Twitter. He got dragged. Joe.
He'll be all right. He's uncanceled.
Oh, he's definitely going to be all right. He's going to be all right.
Yeah, no.
Yeah,
no,
he ain't going to cancel him. Excuse me. There was a post that Chuck D reposted on IG. There's a guy named, I'm going to give him his credit, Mr. Mars Today is his profile on Twitter. He's listed as a singer-songwriter, producer out of L.A. And Chuck D reposted this post, which I think is...
Posted the post of the post.
Yeah, I think this is good. He says, social media has artists effed up because it takes time to create amazing art. Sometimes a lot of time. And the way the algorithms work for you, you can't really take time off and expect continued engagement. This is driving people to be more release-driven than development-driven. He's basically speaking to the microwave generation where it's content, 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 product, product, product. You know, that loses some of the creativity or some of the quality. It's like it's a lot of C material getting put out over and over again versus, you know, sitting and cooking a A-type quality product like a Kendrick Lamar would or maybe a J. Cole. I'm just using them as my opinion for examples.
Mm-hmm.
But when you read that, Jay Brookins, how do you feel about that? Is he on to something? Because there could be a devil's advocate point to this as well. But I want to see what you think.
Kind of. I mean, there are exceptions to the rule. Like, there's some people that can get away with that. I feel like Frank Ocean can get away with that. Beyonce can get away with that. There's some people that can do it, but it's a little bit different for, like, your average independent artist, right? So, like, you're caught in the muck. And this is something I feel like that we've already passed the threshold. This is not going to stop. People aren't going to slow down their releases. This is going to get worse and worse it's going to keep happening until it turns into something else, right? Because that's just how hip-hop is. It's like, I don't like when people use, you know, hi-hats in their beats, you know what I mean? Like, okay, and then we're going to have like 10 years of that before we find something else, you know? And
808s.
Yeah, 808s, and it goes a different way.
We're in the no-drums era right now.
Yeah, like, so I understand what he's saying, but I mean, we're past the point of this even being something we can do about it, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just like, oh, matter of fact, everyone wants to bring, it's more release-driven, we're not at quality music, like, the music is not even the main focus anymore.
Right.
I mean, am I lying?
I feel bad saying that,
but like, I don't think anybody even cares about music anymore.
Yeah.
Jump in there, Long.
Yeah. No, no, I agree. I feel like a broken record for saying this, but I had this conversation with students and also just on the show and just, you know, in general, but you have to tie music with content. You have to. Like, in moving forward, it like Brookins just said, like, we've already passed the threshold. Like, the, you know, if you're not known, if you're not Beyonce, if you're not Jay-Z, if you're not Kanye West, if you're not somebody that has a huge established fan base that is looking for your content where you're sharing pictures of your kids, you know, and they can get hype of anything off of that you're doing.
Right.
Then you have to marry your music with your content, and you have to find out clever ways to do this. Now, I don't think that you have to go to the extent that you were talking about, Mike, in the sense of...
What you mean?
Well, you're like, well, you have to put out C-level content. You have to do all this stuff. I think it's a different approach. I think it's the approach of...
Let me clarify. I'm not saying they knowingly put out C-level quality content. I'm saying that's what tends to come out when you rush and put out projects back to back. That's what I was saying. You see what I mean?
Yeah. I understand that. I guess what I'm saying is the approach has switched or flipped a little bit. And I think the plan is just you have to do kind of like what Russ did.
Yeah.
In the sense of Russ put out a song every week for an entire year. This is years ago, right?
Mm-hmm. But
he had all of his songs already done.
Yeah.
So it's the same ideas we've always had with making music. You finish the product and then you promote the product. It's just, I feel like now it's super easy to just get kind of caught up with it because it feels like it's all over the place. But I would just say, create your content, create a system that's going to distribute your content through the next period of time that you are going to be creating. So let's say I work right now for 12 weeks and making a whole bunch of music for the next year.
Right.
Cool. I'll schedule that to go out in the next year, however I do that. And then in that next year, when that content's coming out, I can share pictures of stuff that I'm doing online. I can share cool stuff of whatever I'm doing, blah, 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 while I have a regular release schedule. Mm-hmm. Simultaneously, that whole 12 months, I'm working on new music.
Let me ask you this, Lone. I want to follow up.
That's just one suggestion.
Sure, here. Sure. But I want to follow up to what we're talking about and just to see what you think. And then, you know, Jay and Jay, actually, y'all can chime in. As it relates to putting out the product and the quality, you know, the quality is always going to be subjective. We know that. It's all opinion based. But do you think there are artists that are below the artists that you named that have shown the ability to consistently put out products?
Yes.
Within X amount of time frame, you
absolutely.
Know what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's the part I was saying that might be the devil's advocate, because there are people that can churn out that good product.
Yeah, this is not, it's not even a, like, they're Pat Jr. Shouts to Pat Jr.
Shout out to Pat Jr.
Is somebody who puts out exceptional content. He's
agreed.
Super personable on the stuff that he releases. I mean, his music's really good. He just understands how to do that. I mean, Odyssey is one. Even though he hasn't put stuff up, he's been sharing pictures of his children, his kids. You know, he's been having kids. He hasn't had time, but now he's getting ready to go back on tour. He's somebody.
I have no doubt the quality when he comes out.
But even if you're an artist that isn't known, I've been following artists on TikTok that don't have big followings at all, but they're being super consistent with distributing. They're being extremely intentional about how they are putting, they'll have one song, but they'll have 90 different videos for that one song.
And that keeps you engaged.
Keeps you engaged. Because we're living it, especially the way the algorithms work, at least right now.
Right.
On the two best platforms to be on, which is YouTube Shorts and TikTok.
Right.
And you can argue Instagram Reels, but I'm not convinced. But that's here nor there, right? But on those two platforms, it's a throw it out into the world approach to get as many people as possible to latch on. So it's like, we can put out, just like we do with our show, we can put out one video here that'll pop off with 100,000 views. The next one will get 500 views.
Yeah.
Right. But the point is that it has the potential to reach that many people every single time. Whereas on Instagram, typically speaking, and Facebook and stuff like that, it's just the people that already follow you.
Gotcha.
So we're in a different type of space to where you have the potential every single time. If you have one really good song, if you chop it up into 90 different cool video formats that you're going to share over 3 months, one a day or something, who knows, maybe one of those is going to pop and that's going to bring in 20 people one day. And then maybe the other day it brings in none.
Breathing life into that, extending the life of that record.
It's the same thing as what Tyler, the creative, was recently talking about. Like, mm-hmm. I'm still promoting my album a year later. Yeah. You know, it's
that
just,
hit me when he said that.
But the difference between Tyler and everybody else is Tyler has budgets. He has money. He can do that. He has a name.
True.
So you just have to adapt that mindset. It's the same exact mindset it's always been. It's just the technology is changing realistically.
I can dig that. I can dig that. JJ, jump in. Lone's got the comment there for you just in case. But what you think about it, man?
These things happen in cycles. You know, there was a time in the 60s and 70s where a group like the Temptations might put two albums out, maybe three, in 1 year.
True.
You know, because, hey, the competition was heavy. We had to get after it.
Yeah.
You know, and we're at that place right now. Everybody who has a computer basically has a record company.
Thank you, man.
And
a phone.
Yeah, a phone. All you know, there are people who literally have gotten hot. Hit Kid and Young Lady Glorilla from Memphis. Like, she recorded that song and shot the video the same day. And there is no question, as somebody who's, you know, out and in the clubs, that was the song of the summer. FNF was the song of the summer. There's no reason to try to debate it.
Yeah.
That was the song of the summer. And like I said, she shot the video, and you could tell, like, that was shot on a phone, maybe.
But it didn't matter, though.
It didn't matter.
It didn't matter.
Because, like, when you have something that the people want.
She struck a chord, man.
You know, sometimes you there's sometimes you can't buy that kind of movement and that kind of attention. Momentum. You know, because.
And it's cost efficient.
You know, so here it is. She shot and she'd done stuff before. She had regional stuff. Mm-hmm. But for this to be as big a hit in Indianapolis as it is in Memphis and St. Louis, Chicago, L.A., New York, Chicago. I think I mentioned Chicago twice. It is what it is. Shout out to Chicago.
It's a big place.
Yeah, West Side and South Side. All good. You know.
I see.
Side?
Yeah.
Side? So, Cut it out.
It really is a situation to where you can talk about, oh, they got to put out so much content and they got to. Everybody's putting out so much content right now. If you are not constantly working, you're going to get lost in the shuffle.
Yeah.
And I, you know what? And the thing is, people can say, oh, well, you know, it dilutes what is happening. There's always been music that was diluting what was happening.
True.
Like we talk about the 90s. There was a lot of stuff in the 90s that we don't talk about now because it wasn't any good.
Mm-hmm. Well. I mean, we did last week.
Yeah.
We talked about a lot of stuff last week.
You know, and the
Shouts of the Biscuit guy.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
The Bales model.
Yeah, I mean, like, this is the thing. Like, you think, oh, it's just now getting record contracts for no reason. LaToya Jackson has several albums out there, you know, for whatever reason.
Why you say it like that?
Because she has no business putting out records.
That's what I be talking about, man. That's what I be. How are you going to tell me one of Joe Jackson's children does not have any business to put records out? Come on, man.
Look, Joe Jackson got 7 of his kids into the
we
Rock
just
and Roll
Hall.
Into
the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I didn't want to do it, but
he's got 9
ask.
Kids. All of them couldn't go.
Okay, all right. But, go ahead, man.
No, but I'm just saying, like, okay, when we talked about last week when that list of, you know, the 50 wackest rappers, but we know who they are. I was able to name people who had no business ever even recording. When I talked about Ho Frat Ho and Two Big MC, and Biscuit got a record contract because he was the new kids on the block's bodyguard. Mm. And they gave him a record contract.
Hey, man, good for him.
Shout out to Biscuit. I hope he
don't talk about, and this is when you have a record contract and put out a single and a video was costing big money.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I
hope his paperwork was right because that's a good look.
Probably not, but, you know.
I don't wish that on that man.
I don't wish that on anybody, but I'm just saying, like, it's competitive. It was competitive then. It's competitive now.
You have to
adapt to what the competitive marketplace is.
For sure.
And I think also you just have to be smart about how you move and how you, which has always been a thing, really. You've always had to be smart with how you move. It's just now it's ever changing. Everything's super techno. Honestly, I think now if you're going to start as an artist, I feel like I could actually do a pretty good job of guiding somebody to do all the things that I messed up when I was an artist. You know what I mean? Like,
I'm getting frustrated because
you know what I mean? Like,
I ain't gonna derail again. Go ahead.
No, but I'm just saying, like, I wish I had the knowledge that I had now when I started rather than just throwing stuff at the wall and just
hoping something stuck.
Yeah, for sure. But now it's being consistent and being smart and planning, and, you know, like, there are content systems in place. You can literally schedule a lot of these posts to go out. You can spend 4 hours on your content. Well, you have to make the content too. There's that. But you can spend 4 hours and then it's scheduled for the next 30 days or something.
Listen, man, I've been telling, y'all just give my man loan, man. He has the keys to success if you want to sit down and listen.
Do you have a channel where you just give out game?
I do, but I haven't posted anything on it in a long time just because I don't have any time to.
Mm-hmm. This man should get paid for the knowledge that he's learned throughout the course of running a label for this long and a website for this long.
Some
blog.
People's whole platforms is just nuggets of knowledge, bro.
Yeah. Like, no, for sure.
You definitely onto something. I know you know how to, you know, move in this digital realm, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Especially like on TikTok. Maybe some 30 to 60 second game nuggets, bro.
But I think he should get the paper for the jewels.
But again, that's Jay's point. That's how you generate
it. Get him in there.
So I mean, so I could go even further into that.
I'm biased because I know the game you got. I'm biased. I'm biased.
Just think about, you know, we talk about people generating all this content, especially if you're talking about music. Who does that really benefit? You know, because once again, what was it? The guy who runs Spotify was like, these artists need to put out more music, so I have more stuff to generate to, yeah. to traffic to my particular. Yeah.
That's right.
He was dead serious when he said that.
But it's like I'm trying to do this for me and for the art.
And now we're going to talk about capitalism. I mean, that's cool.
On the next topic, we're about to talk about that. But think about it.
They need people to continue. They need people to make YouTube videos every day. Mm. They need people to put out new albums every Friday or Tuesday or however they're trying to schedule it. Mm. If the creators stop that, then it's like, why am I going to these apps now?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Sure.
Everything about these apps and these platforms is driven by people
labor
continually creating content.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody's like, I'm gonna do like back in the day when Michael Jackson would take 3, 4, maybe 5 years between albums.
Yeah,
for sure. Oh no, we're not doing that.
Mm-mm. No, you can't. But the thing is, you can. You just have to set yourself up in a way to where you're able to do that. That's the only thing. I agree. We're in that situation. I feel like we're a lot of people coming into this probably feel super overwhelmed. Like I can only imagine being a new artist. Like coming out, and it is super hard. But you just have to take a breath and you have to just grind it.
It went from mailing CDs in and trying to get a meeting to trying to appeal to the masses through my phone and whatever I have in my room.
And what's crazy, I don't even consider myself like this big media person or anything, but I do have Bringing Down the Band, and I still get emails, and I haven't checked a submission in 2 years.
That's petty.
I just don't have time.
I know you don't.
But my thing is, it's like
petty. That's about mental health.
No, it really it is actually. But
he's right, low key.
But the
he's
thing,
right.
But the thing is about that is like early on, I remember being a hungry artist. Like, man, I want these people to listen to my stuff and want it. Now I'm sitting here like I don't have the capacity to listen to your stuff or even. So it's like
imagine you work at Atlantic.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Imagine this is like, I mean, it's different if you're getting paid to do it, I guess, but
I'm assuming working at one of these labels is like, okay, let me go to YouTube and see who has the most views and figure out if they really are who they say they are. And then we're going to throw them a deal and we'll get busy.
But this is the thing, like people are so hungry. Look, I remember working in radio and my man Rec One, shout out to him. He would handle the local music submission.
Oh wow.
And do you know people would get on the phone like he would get on the phone and be like, "Man, come on. I'm not trying to go back to jail." Like that was their sales pitch for listening to the CD. And
I'm in my mama house, man. But
this was crazy. This is back in the day where, like, maybe if you could generate a local hit, maybe somebody from one of these companies would take interest in it.
It's changed, though, now because the guy,
the records would always be so bad.
But I'm coming to you, Jay. It's changed now because the dude that's staying in mama house or the dude that just got out.
Academics.
It's like now he can start an Instagram page and reach America if he work hard enough. He couldn't back then when he was calling into y'all. It's like, yo, I need you in order for me to get to where I want to get to. You know what I'm saying? Like,
back in jail.
Don't do that. Go ahead,
okay,
Jay.
He mentioned DJ Rec One, and I got an apology from Mr. Rec One because I sent him a spicy email when he was doing the local.
Did you curse?
The local joint. I said some wild stuff, bro. I had no clue what I was talking about.
You cursed,
I was
like, you cursed, didn't you?
Why don't y'all play local records? Blah 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 blah. And like he hit me back and like gave me some game and was like, "Bro, you don't know what you're talking about. Please stop talking to me." And like I got nothing but respect for the guy, but I remember being a hot-headed young hip-hop person trying to come up in Indianapolis and being too thirsty for my own good back in the day. Shout out to Rec One, man. I'm sorry, buddy.
It's all right. We appreciate you.
I made so many mistakes.
Better late than never,
man. We all did.
But there's nobody teaching us this stuff. Just like we're
back to what we were talking about with you, man. There's this lack of knowledge, bro. Like there's still people in 2022 that are putting their links in comment sections. It's like I thought we got rid of that back in 2000.
No, we didn't.
Somebody tried to sell me a CD 2 weeks ago.
Are you serious?
Sell me a CD.
Yeah. Let me ask. Just because that's our era. We come from that. Please tell me it was at least.
It was a burnt CD, man.
No. It was long stupid. Please tell me it was in a jewel case and it had some sort of cover on it, or was it handwritten?
No, it had.
That's
like,
what I want to know.
Like the paper sleeves.
Okay.
You know, and
what was it? Was it written? Was there artwork, or was it just written?
Man, he was trying to sell me a CD at the gas station, and it's just
was it gas station, Jason?
Look, you gotta understand.
There's some people that still rock with them CDs, bro.
That's
I ain't gonna
true.
Say no names, man.
No, I'm not.
I'm not denying that by any means.
Get you one of them.
And he didn't know who. And I'm not trying to say I'm anybody, but he didn't know who I was as far as like.
He didn't check your resume?
Right. No. And because it's like.
You had people, chicken?
No. What are you talking about?
I'm just asking because we talk about chicken. You might have had a box of chicken with you. I didn't know.
No, there was no chicken involved. This is not that. But like when it's like when I'm in the club and people are like, man, I just want to get my record played. And, they got a CD or they're like.
That's
or
the top of the mountain for them.
And it's like,
you know, you're the gatekeeper, right? You know that, right?
Yeah, but I said, man, do you realize computers don't even have CD drives on them anymore?
You're right. Mm-hmm. You're right.
Yeah, they ain't got nothing on here.
Yeah. The thing is, this is what's crazy because shout out to Brother to the Night because he's better than me. Because, some guy came and like, of course, we took a little payment. but play the record. But at the same time, it's like, bam, you don't even you were able to download or email it, but it's not even tagged correctly. Mm. I'm looking at the screen. I see the name of the song. But
what is unknown?
Bounce down file.
Yeah. You don't even have it to where I could
mix
if I wanted
seven, eight,
to
nine.
Shout you out because you did break bread. I can't do that because your name is your artist name is not in. So I can read it on Serato.
Shout out to Desktop 1435 in the building. We see you.
Yeah.
In this time, right?
But when
now,
I give people that game, most of the time they don't want to listen.
Yeah. You should not be clueless in today's age, right?
There's so much information out there.
You can literally find out how to do anything. You can find out how to cheat the TikTok algorithm. You can find out how to do all these things if you just search hard enough. So, hey, word to y'all out there that want to do something, digitally and online, just go do your research. Someone has done it and they're selling it to you. You can learn everything.
Out,
and the thing is, a lot of times they're just selling it to you via TikTok follow or a YouTube monetization.
Absolutely.
So it's out there.
Lone has embarrassed me enough to know that his response is always, I say, man, I'm trying to figure this out. And he's like, go look it up.
Yeah.
And I sit back in my chair and I'm like,
it stings, but.
And I come back the next week and I'm like, yo, I got what you sent me, but I still can't. He's like, go to YouTube and look it up. And I'm
I found out how to replace the fuel pump on a car.
Me too.
I just need to look at it. I just,
changed my water pump.
That's right,
on YouTube.
Man.
I found out how to, stuff I wasn't even trying to do. Like, I found out how to play Nintendo games on my Xbox One.
Mm-hmm. Look, I locked myself out of my house. Literally had my phone and said, oh, man. In 20 seconds, I learned how to break back into my house to get my keys. I'm dead serious. I was in and out and then gone in less than a minute.
I believe you.
Using a credit card.
Can you send me that?
Yeah.
I'll see.
Yeah.
JR, hey.
I locked myself out of my garage door the other day. I had to knock the handle off. I didn't have the patience.
As long as it's not,
we don't want the feds on us.
As long as it's not like a deadbolt, if it's just a regular, I got you.
Oh, you out here now?
I'm just.
YouTube, man.
Okay. The point.
That's that white privilege, boy.
The point.
True. That's that white privilege. 100%.
Young people, the point is. Before you get into just vandalism and skullduggery, is we want you to know that don't be afraid to ask, and if you don't know the person to ask Google.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you'll
spend some time with it.
You. Instead of just going out here and just doing stuff to do stuff.
I do have a series. It's called Be a Better Artist. I just haven't had a lot of time to actually do anything with it.
I'll be dropping jewels, man. I'm telling you.
But a podcast I would very, very much suggest, and we've already mentioned it, it's like Get the Cheat Code.
Yeah.
Follow them. If
Was that the name of it?
I think it's The Cheat Code or Get the Cheat Code. Follow them on Instagram or definitely TikTok. They share gems. Mm-hmm. It's a dope podcast. If you're in the music industry, I would absolutely suggest following them. Plus, they've been in it for a long time. They got lots of good jewels.
Let's talk about Jay-Z and capitalism.
Hey, man, players mess up too, bro. That's
they do.
I just don't. I think sometimes you can live within your own bubble and not understand.
Like, I mean, I'm happy Jay got
Jay-Z
his bread.
Jay-Z is a billionaire.
He is, 100%.
Can you just imagine the bubble that he's in? Even though he's probably somewhat connected to...
He's 100% insulated, though.
It's
he's
a different type of...
100%.
When you're out here, trying to Bitcoin the Marcy projects and creates... It's different.
Trust me, every part of Jay-Z's day is segmented and scheduled.
Yeah.
There isn't just none of his friends can be like, I'm gonna call Jay-Z at 4:30 in the afternoon just to shoot.
See what's going on. Let me stop by and see Jay.
It doesn't work like that.
So I pulled one comment from his a quote that he mentioned as it relates to this, and he says, "All the lies that America told us our whole life, and then we start getting it. They try to lock us out of it. They start inventing words like capitalist." We've been called N-words and monkeys and expletive. I don't care what words you y'all come up with. Y'all got to come up with stronger words. So he's basically saying the capitalist word. That's capitalist word.
An interesting statement, though.
Yeah, like he's
who's his audience? Like, who's he talking? Like, I always feel like he's talking to some people that, you know, like he's talking to some people on an upper echelon. Like he's talking
to people who are never going to be happy with whatever he does.
But exactly. he says we're not going to stop. Okay. Cool. He says hip hop is young. It's still growing.
That's cool.
We're not falling for the tricknology the public puts out there. Before, it was the American dream. Pull yourself up by the bootstraps. You can make it in America. He says that's what it was before.
Yeah, that was a lie. But continue.
No, but those are the two comments that stuck out to me, Lone.
And then when you do it, they move the goalposts. Exactly. Is that basically what you're saying? Mm-hmm.
So, Lone, I'm coming to you first.
Okay.
Let's
talk to the white person.
Yeah,
100%.
Exactly.
About black capitalism.
100%. 100%.
How does this make you feel?
That's what I was thinking.
It makes me feel like
Brookings.
Every week.
As a black man with $1 billion, does that make you angry?
Lone, talk to me, man. What do you take from Jay and the word capitalist and him seeming to be, not quite aware of where he is and... I don't know how he got there, perhaps, or I don't know, man. This is a little weird because
I probably, again, I don't know, but I would guess that maybe he feels like he's got a little bit of a target on his back because he's successful. You know, he has made it out of nothing. You know, that's it. Everybody here probably knows Jay-Z's origin story.
Yeah, like, that's legit.
It's not a secret or anything. He is doing well. I feel like he's a great role model. In general, and everybody that's a rapper wants to aspire to be something like Jay-Z, you know, have a long, great musical career,
yep.
Have great businesses that you build along the way. So you create generational wealth for you and your family and those around you and the artists that you're working with, and you bring in everybody up together. Yep. And he's doing it all by exploiting capitalism. He's exploiting the white man's game, right?
Yeah.
Essentially, historically, if we're going to be real.
Mm-hmm. Jay getting over now.
So,
I'm happy about it, for the record.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not happy or mad about it. I'm just happy that, you know, he's successful. I'm just like, great. I'm happy to see somebody like Jay be successful. I've enjoyed following his path and all that stuff, but
he's got a great story.
But for me specifically, if I'm going to be real, I feel the same way. I said this before. I feel the same way about white billionaires that I do about black billionaires. And I don't feel like there should be any billionaires. Mm. And if you have $1 billion, that means that you're hoarding money that you probably need to distribute elsewhere.
Say it again.
Hoarding.
Okay.
You know, and it's just, I understand it's just like goalpost. I feel like that people want to strive to hit. And I also, especially in hip hop culture, we talked about that with, you know, everybody wants to hit a Billy.
Yeah.
You know, Kanye talks about it and stuff, has talked about it as well. I don't feel bad. Look, I'm happy they're successful. I think he deserves to be successful. But I do also, I'm also one of those people that believes that there should be a cap.
Okay.
You know, I'm a capitalist because I live in a capitalist society, not because I want to be, you know, and it's just kind of how I feel.
I ain't mad at you, bro. Jay Brookings, jump in, man. What you think?
A black man with $1 billion, bro.
Yeah.
Like, I gotta give him the, you know.
I love seeing it. I ain't no cap. I love seeing it.
He's got it, man. Like, he's got $1 billion. Like, he's fighting battles that we don't see. Like, I know sometimes he gets soundbited like this and says some things that may be to my to my untrained ears. You know, I don't have $1 billion. I don't know what that's like. When I hear that kind of stuff, it sounds like he's, you know, almost making fun of me. You know what I'm saying? Like, what is he talking about? Capitalist. That word's been around, dude. Like, what are you, you tripping, Jay? Like, nah, he's just, you know, like, that's him, man. If that's what he wants to say, I'm good with that. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not tripping off that. I don't see why people are so upset about this. Like, he's obviously talking billionaire talk. And
I think that's why, though.
Yeah. Oh, is
the fact that he's talking,
you know, he's talking, talk? He's supposed to be this philanthropist, this, you know, what is he doing with it? You know, like, if we're talking, you know, maybe.
I feel like he's actually one of the people that actually do things positive with their money. You know what I'm saying?
I was about to say that.
For sure. But if we talk about like capitalism versus socialism, what they're talking about, like the end goal shouldn't be for the rich people to give out stuff for the people that are well unbalanced. It should be for the systems to be set up so everybody can rise, right? Mm. And if you're a capitalist, that means that you are the person. He's the Billy. He gets to choose and sprinkle the stuff on as opposed to spreading it. And being a, so there's nuance in there, I guess.
Yeah.
Jay Moore, what you think, man? Jay and the capitalist word.
Well, you know, when we talk about capitalism, it really can sometimes, I understand why it's a dirty word to some people, but I understand also from what I do, and not to get into too much detail, I understand that capitalism has a place, you know, but say I've learned to build a better mousetrap, and I can make that mousetrap for a dollar, but I sell it to you for $9.99. Okay, that doesn't make me evil because I don't sell it to you for $2 as opposed to $9. Mm-hmm. But capitalism is also the reason why, you know, the price of insulin has skyrocketed.
Talk to him.
Despite the fact that the actual way they make insulin hasn't been any change since the last 30 to 40 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's just because they can do it. Mm-hmm. And they do it anyway. And, you know, the whole Martin Shkreli thing. Mm-hmm. You know, that's capitalism at its very worst. You know, so, you know, if somebody, there are people out there who have $1 billion because they literally learned to make that better mousetrap. Mm-hmm. But then there are people who have $1 billion because, okay, here's something that costs $10 for me to produce. And I know people, they don't just want it, they need it. Yes. And I can charge them $900 for it. Mm-hmm. I always say,
blind demand,
that capitalism is great for the things that we want, but it's very bad for the things that we need. Mm. You know, like the fact that, like, remember when flat screen TVs first came out, they would be like $8,000-$9,000. These were actual luxury items.
Yes.
You know, now they basically give flat screen TVs away. You know, when you go to a store, it'd be like, I can get a 50 inch TV with smart features and internet connectivity, and it's 4K, and I only have to pick for $400.
Yeah, I know.
It's crazy. Insane. Like, I'm old enough to remember if you went to somebody's house and they had a 32-inch TV, yeah, they were balling.
It was like watching the movies.
Yeah, yep. So, but, you know, when it comes to, say, fixing the water problem in Jackson, Mississippi.
Yeah, shout out to Coach Prime.
You know, when you talk about that, and there's like, well, maybe we can bring in privatization. No, making the bad water more expensive is not helping.
Facts. Mm-hmm.
So I understand why people have a very complicated and very nuanced sometimes relationship with capitalism. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when Jay-Z says these things, I'm like, man, that was, at first my initial reaction was that was a dumb thing to say.
Yeah, right. Essentially. That's
right.
Much.
But, you know, I can see where in his mind he sees goalposts moving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was like, okay, I figured out this part of the game that they've kept from us.
Right.
But now you're going to use that and say that capitalism is now evil. And
right.
So I can, yeah, like, I can't exactly see things from his perspective. Like I said, I live week to week, baby. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I don't go,
I have no idea
if
what his
I don't go
are.
Out here and get it, it is not there to be gotten.
For sure.
You know, 100%. And so, like, if Jay-Z just said, you know, I'm not getting out of bed this morning, you know, it would probably be detrimental to him in some sort of way because people would be.
I don't think it would be detrimental.
But you know what?
He doesn't have to get out of bed.
His kids aren't missing any meals.
He can sleep for 3 months.
He doesn't sleep until he dies.
He doesn't have to worry about, you know, keeping his lights on or his next meal. Nah. If I just say, you know what, I'm not doing this today. There are some days where, like, that's what gets me up out of the bed.
100%.
Is because, oh, I like to eat and have shelter.
Right. Okay. But that's true. That's real.
You know, that's real, though. That's real. Yeah,
so, like, that's why I can only, you know, but at the same, like I said, I can see where he could see goalposts moving because here is, I'm a black man with no formal education who comes from Marcy Projects, mm-hmm. and I figured out how to get here, and now capitalism is something to be looked down upon.
Yeah.
But, you know, when it was Warren Buffett and Bill Gates, now don't get me wrong, I have my issues with them because it's like, come on, man, you cornered the market, you did all these things and you pushed people out and you did some dirty stuff to get here.
Yeah.
You know, because it's hard to really think, okay, if you have $1 billion, there's somebody you stepped on.
No, there's no doubt about it. You stepped on somebody to get to a billion.
Yeah.
Be clear. There's no doubt about it that you stepped over and on somebody
to get to that point.
Because
you know what? The only time we've seen a billionaire taxed correctly is when that person won the lottery. And it was like 1 point something billion. And it came in and took like $450 million off the top.
Yes, sir.
Facts, man.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know what? That was a regular person that won the lottery. So, okay, yeah, you won $1 billion, but you ain't a billionaire.
She or he is still
now,
straight.
Now, don't get me wrong. They ain't missing no meals either.
Not at all. Yeah. Not at all.
But I'm just saying, like, if you want to see a billionaire get taxed properly, yeah, let somebody win $1 billion in the lottery. And you'll see exactly how billionaires should be taxed.
Mm-hmm. Nah, for sure.
Thanks to our partners. Dr. Coleman of Coleman Dental is our go-to dentist. He's a longtime Indianapolis arts and music supporter located right in Broad Ripple. Printfinity is a screen printing shop based in Indianapolis, owned and operated by our own DJ J. Diff. Our good friends at Indy CD and Vinyl operate one of the best record stores in North America. Shop new and used in their site or visit them in person. And the best way to support the New Old Heads is to visit our Patreon and become a member for as little as $3 a month. All details on newoldheads.com.
All right.
Shout out to the partners. We appreciate you. Thank you, as always, for those partnerships. Shout out to the chat as well. They've been foolish pretty much throughout, so we appreciate you all. Let's continue on. Rapper Shad Moss has decided to, I guess, jump on the Chris Brown train and start taxing y'all to be able to get a chance to meet him.
Well, I've been drinking. You said Shad Moss. I was like, I know that name. You talking about
playing for the Vikings?
You talking about Boward Wower?
As Terry would say, Bower Wower. Yes, J. Diff would say Bower Wower. But Bower Wower is charging $1,000 on some meet and greet, a la Chris Brown. You get a tour backstage. You get a chance to meet Bow Wow. Now Bow Wow also responded on Twitter. He's a little upset and. He said, you see, when I'm chilling and minding my business, then often that they still have to talk about me. 1 week, it's Bow Wow sells out O2 Arena. He's a GOAT. Jay Brooks has calmed down. to the next week, it's who wants to meet him for that? Who even wants to meet Bow Wow for 1K? And he's like, yo, baby mama is who wants to meet him. So wow.
He talking real spicy.
Yeah, he's real mad, 100%. He said, read before you post about me. Stop playing with the dog.
Hey, bro.
You're not Snoop, brother, first of all.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that a real tweet?
That's a real tweet. It's right there.
That's a real tweet.
Yeah, it's a real tweet.
Brother, man.
Here's my thing, though, with Bow Wow. I'm coming to you, Jay Brookins. He wanted G to kick it and show, go around the show in the backstage and all that. You know, he's trying to get his Chris Brown on. What do you think about fact that he's asking for a G? Because there might be people, you know, the Millennium Tour people, they might want to be like, yo, I'll pay a G to see Bow Wow and go backstage and see some people and shake some hands and soak up the vibe. But
man, to be honest, bro, like, he's right. He can do what he wants to do.
He sure can.
If people are going to pay that price, then let him do what he's going to do. Of course, we like to make the, you know, Bow Wow the butt of every joke, but like,
he's probably
Good for you, man. Keep doing that. You know?
He's probably worth the grand at least.
Don't do that.
I mean, used to be like, you know, 100% teeny bopper or
not for sure.
You know, he's got people that are diehard fans of his. It may not be grown men, but
I mean,
you know
he made
saying?
A point. Like, he said, "Y'all tell me I sell out the arena, I'm a goat."
He said, "I'm a goat."
Now y'all telling me people don't want to rock with me for a G.
Yeah, and he's done some pretty ridiculous things, like
the pictures and stuff.
Yeah, pictures of him. He's
plane.
On the
that
private plane and stuff
that
like
that. That was stupid. That was stupid.
But I mean, you know, like, you got to give the man his credit. He's been in this game for a long time. Like, people are still talking about him. I mean, he's obviously, if he's selling out arenas and selling $1,000 backstage passes, he's still making money.
I see smoke coming from
do
Jay
your thing,
Moore's
Bow Wow. I'm not mad at you, bro. You know, we got our jokes off about a couple things, but man, mad at you, bro, man. Keep doing your thing.
The boy's successful. All right, let's get that out there. Bow Wow is successful. Acting, movies, TV, don't laugh long. Music, he's successful. So let's put that out there. It ain't like he ain't successful. These tours is getting sold out. So let's be clear. But
sold out.
As it relates to a G, Lone, if you're at that concert.
Lone is not going to be at that concert.
I'm just asking.
Thank you, Jay.
I'm just asking.
You know what would make me go to that concert? I'm already getting money at that concert.
Mm-hmm. All right, cool.
Somebody give you
$1,000.
So
let's say you're getting bread for doing sound or whatever at the concert, right?
Okay.
We'll call it that.
All right.
So you're there, and they say, hey, Sean.
Yeah.
You want to spend $1,000 to meet Bow Wow, even though you're doing sound and go backstage and...
Well, okay, this is already a messed up thing because I should already be there. But to answer your question, no, I'm not going to pay it.
As a regular consumer, you would, right?
As a regular consumer,
I just
don't care.
I don't care.
I'm not going, man.
Okay.
No. Right. But the reason why I'm not going is because I'm not a Bow Wow fan.
All right.
And I'm also extremely frugal with my money.
100%.
And me as an individual person, like, I don't feel like that's something that is going to enhance my life is to have realistically a one-on-one with really anybody, to be honest with you. So I, you know, everybody has, you want $1 billion or have dinner with Jay-Z. I'll take the million. I'll take $100. I'll take $1,000. I, you know, Jay-Z's cool.
They got a new one. I saw it was
what's the new one?
A trillion or dinner with Jesus.
A trillion.
Ooh.
I will do $1 trillion.
The church coming for loan in the Congress.
Now,
would
look,
would you be a capitalist if you had that $1 trillion?
Jesus, if you had
that's
a meeting
a
with
very
Jesus,
good
Jesus would have been like,
that's
you should have took the trillion.
Point.
You should have took the $1 trillion.
Be careful, loan, because we're working with 100,000. We're 100 credits right here for the comments.
Where's $1 trillion coming from?
Okay.
Is $1 trillion coming from just Jesus making it live, or is
I can't believe this is God.
You know,
I don't want to do this.
If $1 trillion is coming out of like tax money, then yeah, I'll probably pass on that. But at the same, like, if it $1 trillion or Jesus,
he's definitely earned us 100 credits for 100.
I am definitely taking $1 trillion.
Okay, let me get back on. Let me steer this back.
Because Jay Bruce set you up right there. Yeah. Let's bring that on back around.
Let me bring this back around. Like, what do you guys think of the trend of this happening? Right, like this is something that's happening now. Like, I don't know how much they used to charge for meet and greets, because I've been to a lot of concerts. I've seen them, but like $1,000 meet and greet is now like
I'm not going to cap, right? So I'm older. I'm past this phase or whatever. If there's younger artists, or not artists, but younger fans, 20s, mid-20s, late-20s or whatever, that grew up listening to Chris Brown, and they have the bread, and their mom and them have it, to be able to kick it with him and see him, take a picture with him, meet and greet. Chris Brown is one of those people that, you know, he's a legendary status artist. Is the price too high? That's debatable. But the concept of being able to kick it with him and meet him, being who he is and who he will be as it projects the music, I don't know if I'm mad at that versus Bow Wow. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying.
You're more mad at Bow Wow getting money than Chris Brown getting money?
I want him to get his bread, but I'm saying if I'm a fan, I'm not tripping off.
But what if you came up under Bow Wow? Like,
there are people that's like that because he's selling out arenas.
That's what I mean.
But I'm saying Chris Brown. The legend appeal for Chris Brown is like, okay,
no, that
might be,
for sure.
It might be a little bit different. That's all.
Is there anybody, this is for everybody here
in the chat,
is there anybody, if you had the money, you had $1,000, you know what I'm saying?
That's
like
a lot of money to meet somebody.
That's grown folk money, but still, like, some people got $1,000 to blow. Is there anybody you would go see for a meet and greet for $1,000? You know, like somebody that you really, really,
and I get the
respect
show on top of that.
Yeah, get the, you know, get the selfie with Jay Dilla if he was still
alive. Look, man,
you know what I'm saying?
I don't think it's a bad look.
Jill Scott. If I got
the,
you know,
if
I had it like that,
$1,000,
and they said you get to meet Jill Scott and take a picture, and I get to smell her hair and all that good stuff. I'd pay $1,000.
Now, is smell the hair on the list?
Yeah, it's not on the list, but I'd do it.
No, he's be clear, y'all. He's talking about after she done performed and then went back and.
You want the
I don't care when I get to smell Jill Scott's hair. I bet her hair smells really good.
I don't, honestly, I think this is just me in general. I don't know if there is somebody that I would spend that money on, honestly.
I had to think about it.
There probably would be.
If you take yourself back into when we were coming up and you had the access to the bread, does that change the question?
But see, back then I was always thinking about opportunities and like the stuff we just talked about, like maybe this person can change my life, which it isn't really like that. You know what I mean? So like now with the retrospect, this is kind of like, I don't know, man. I just look at stuff like.
But you're cheating though, because you're doing half consumer, half artist.
I don't know how I can turn that off.
I'm just saying you cheating a little bit, because I know 100% what you're saying.
If I had the money, maybe, but I think just me and my personality in general.
Right.
I've been in places where I've seen artists that I've enjoyed and that I was fans of, literally sitting at the table next to me, and I just left them alone.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's kind of how I operate. So like, and to be honest, like, what kind of conversation am I going to have with somebody I don't know about stuff? I'd rather have conversations with everybody at this table than any random person for $1,000. I don't know. It just doesn't make sense to me. Like, I'd rather understand what's going on with Jay's life than some Jay-Z's business portfolio.
But the question,
you know what I mean?
When the question is posed, it's sold as if you get to the dinner table, you're going to get a jewel or a golden nugget or something.
I don't think that's what they're selling with Bow Wow.
No, no.
But maybe that's where
maybe that's listen to things that they show. That, like, this is what you
get. You get a digital picture, you get a nice bag, you get a lanyard. Look, I'm not, the thing is, when everybody wants to clown it because it's Bow Wow, and, you know, of course, people who are outside of the demographic want to talk crazy, but those screen, whatever that tour is, it sells out whenever it comes
every
to what.
Every single time.
So when you think about the, whatever they call in the place where the Pacers play, which is where they're going to hold the concert.
Right.
That place holds what, like 19, 20,000?
18 and a half,
so
19,
you,
probably.
So if he's saying there are 10 spots for this for $1,000, right. Mm-hmm. You don't think there are 10 people out of 19,000 that would go ahead? This is smart business by
Bow
Wow. I know y'all 100. Thought I was going to cook him,
no,
but
no,
this
no.
is smart,
smart
business.
I agree.
I don't have any problem with this. There are people who are that big of fans. They, you know, when he put out his records, that was those were his the formative years, mm-hmm. and he's out here on tour right now, and they remember him as being Mr. 106 in Park.
Yep.
Like everybody, sure. like everybody just wants to get their little jokes off, but yeah. they're not thinking about business.
Yeah, yep. Like, he's crying all the way to
like,
the bank.
No,
that's 100%.
Because to me, I'm like, how are you just going to limit it to 10 people? You could be. I know there are maybe 20 to 30 out of 19,000.
And 1,000's not even really that. It's not a lot of money for people that are really
who are diehard fans who, like, this might be the one concert they go to mm-hmm. in a year. And, you know, now, mind you, I'm going to tell you right now, I've been backstage at these big shows. Backstage is it's just a bunch of boxes and crates.
It's not anything.
It's not, you know, I mean, it may seem like it's going to be, oh, I'm going to be backstage, like, because you have this romanticized idea of what backstage is. It's not like that.
It's perception, though. We always think
nobody. If you can get backstage and meet the artist that you love since you were 9 years old, and for some people, $1,000, if I'm doing, you know, all right in life and this is the only concert I'm going to go to this year, that $1,000 is nothing to me. And like I said, this is smart business by Bow Wow.
Especially if you have it.
I know. Yeah, especially if you have it. I know people, because I saw something today, and this is just people. Because people just think they can crack on certain people. They're mm-hmm. like, dinner with Bow Wow or $2,700 in food stamps. I'm
yeah,
like,
yeah.
dog.
Yeah, that's,
like,
that's what I was looking for. The Flood actually shared that in the comments.
So it's like people think that like,
I mean,
yeah,
I'll
you got your
stamps.
Little funny off. But do you realize, okay, he's got 10 spots for this. There are people who are going to be disappointed because they're not going to, there's more than 10 people in every city in America
Absolutely.
That this is going to yeah. that are not going to be able to.
Michael,
shout out to him. Shout out to Chris Brown.
Meg Thee Stallion.
Shout out to Meg Thee Stallion, because there are people who are that big of fans, and there are people who are going to be left out of this opportunity
Absolutely.
Who have the $1,500, the $1,000 to do it. So Bow Wow, look, I'm going to be the one person that's not going to clown you. Brother, this is good business.
I'll do and both. I can clown and I'm also
but
say it's
you know
business.
What? This is also capitalism.
I tell you
it
what.
Is.
Michael is a grown man.
But it's
man.
Okay, capitalism.
Yeah.
Michael is a
it's
grown man.
It's what the market will bear.
Yep.
It's what
I'm,
the market
I'm
will bear.
I'm taking the food stamps.
No, I am.
He's a grown man.
Up,
I'm
Mike.
Taking the food.
Bro, I got
I'm
eat.
Taking the food stamps.
I
100%. I'm taking the food stamps.
You know,
but I understand that there are people, to your point.
Yeah, I mean, you should take the food stamps. If I saw you in a picture with Bow Wow and you was all
saying,
smiling
you
and
bro, you would
I'd
never
be like,
see
dog,
the
we would light your ass up
we
on
We might
this
lose
platform.
Subscribers and everything if that was the case. So I get it. I ain't going to take a picture with Bow Wow. I'm going to take the food stamps. But it's cool,
that's
though. We up to Little John now, or Little John.
Nah, say it the other way. Little.
Little.
Little John.
John.
Hold on, let me. I got it.
Little John is, actually, Little John is a monster. He had a, Little John had a run. I ain't going to, I'm not going
to Are you
going to
keep saying it like that?
I'm going to stop. Little John had a run, though. I don't know if the
I mean, we're not even doing it justice. This man had not only a run, he actually
Am I disrespecting him?
And I thought about this. So I was like, why did I come when they're doing Little John? Like, I don't really have too much to say
oh,
about
you
this.
Know, though.
But now that I'm thinking back at
it
when
was
that
our era. It was.
Yeah.
Thank you. We were outside we were out. For Little John's run.
Bruh, this man made the same beat.
He gave
over
no,
and over
no,
again.
No,
he
and
ruled
this,
the
this,
world.
That's not hate, because he gave the same beat to Usher that he gave to Petey Pablo. They basically
Ludacris,
gave to Sierra,
all
and they
of
were
them.
All number one
they
songs.
They were all Facts. Jamming, bro.
Facts. Yeah, so
he changed a little bit here and a little bit there, and we were like, we don't care.
And one thing that's big for me,
all classics too,
as it relates to producers, is can you sculpt a sound that's mm-hmm. successful?
And now he, people are remaking his records.
Thank you.
Wow.
He was 100% a producer that could sculpt a sound that was successful. You
well,
know?
He had his sound specifically.
It,
you know?
Yeah, like and he made his, but he applied it to like three or four or five different yeah. artists, and they all had hit records.
I got
to
see these
which
hits.
Is crazy.
You got them pulled up.
He got records. Yeah, I got the discography pulled up. You want to read them long?
Do you want me to
They
read
love
them?
When you read no. them. Yeah, they love when you read them.
Do they?
Yeah,
I don't
they love
know
them.
If they do.
I know at least one person loves when you read them, so go ahead.
All right. Let's see here. We have...
It's me.
as a featured artist... Hold on. As a lead artist... Studio albums, compilation albums, and or production. Hold on, I'm trying to find his actual production.
He got a production discography on there.
Maybe I'm in the wrong place here.
You want me to go off? I got it.
Oh, production discography.
There you go.
There we are.
There you go.
All right, here we go. A-Marie, Touch, Baby Bash, Cyclone, Britney Spears, Blackout, Brooke Valentine, Chain Letter, Bun B, Trill. He did Trill, Recognize Trill, featuring Ludacris.
I actually remember that.
Sierra, I'm going to skip Sierra. I'm going to skip.
That's a big record. Goodies,
skip,
though.
Yeah, DeBrat, We Ready, David Banner, Might Get Ya.
Oh, that's on the first album.
David Banner, Treat Me Like, featuring Jadakiss. E-40, Anybody Can Get It. He also did, I don't know if it's on here, but he did Rhymefest, Angry Black Man sure on an Elevator.
Was that your favorite song?
I just think it's one of my favorite titles of a
okay.
song ever.
Fair enough. Fair
I'm
enough.
An angry black man on an elevator. What? He actually recorded it in his Little John's closet. Anyways, let's see. E-40, might get a report card. He did 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
That's a lot.
He did
for
You and That with Candy. That was a big record.
Fat Joe Lean Back Remix.
Yes.
Ooh, crazy.
Ice Cube, Laugh Now, Cry Later. He did Go to Church. You got a lot of. And Holla at Your Boy. Let's see. Juvenile, Why Not, featuring Skip. Corrupt, Riot in the Streets. Little Scrappy.
Little Scrinap.
He did 6 tracks off Bred to Die, Born to Live.
I remember Gangsta Gangsta.
Gangsta Gangsta. MC Hammer, Yay.
Don't do that.
Sorry. Mob Real. Deep, Real Gangstas. Nappy Roots, that. What You Gonna Do. Petey Pablo, Jam Y'all, Freak a Leak, You Don't Want That. Pitbull. I'm just going to skip Pitbull. He did a whole bunch of Pitbull records. A lot of Pitbull records.
That's
here.
Big, man. Ricky Martin.
Snoop Dogg, Step Your Game. Snoop Dogg.
Step Your Game Up.
1800, T.I., Stand Up.
That's a big record.
Mm-hmm. T.I., I'm Serious, Remix.
That's a big record.
Trick Trick, Shouts to Detroit, Let It Fly.
Oh, my fault.
The Dog Pound, That Was Then, This Is Now. Too no Short, more. Married to the Game, he did 5 records. That's how it goes down. You Can't F With Us, Shake That Monkey. Burn Rubber, Hey, Let's Go.
Oh,
Too
God.
Short, Blow the Whistle.
Hey.
That's a semi-big record. I mean, by semi, I mean huge. Burn Rubber Part 2, Moneymakers, Sadiddy. It's Time to Go, Shake It, Baby. Trillville. Wow, I remember Trillville.
He got like 9 or 10 on
what
that
it
one.
Is,
he
yo.
Did the whole record.
Yes. All right, fair enough.
The King of Crunk and BME Records present Trillville and Lil Scrappy. Trillville, yep.
Usher.
The bomb
yeah.
right here. The
now remember,
bomb.
Now remember, Usher doesn't count for this list.
I mean, they got Ludacris on
it's
R&B.
That's true. I guess the Ludacris would probably count.
That record is huge.
Yeah. Waka Flocka Flame, Smoke Drink, Young Buck, Short UGK, like that. Produced singles. I mean, this list is massive. I'm not going to read this.
Lil Jon, listen.
We all know.
Do they have his hits? Like this.
Well, they got
it.
They got
record,
his box office.
I don't give an F. Get Low, Damn, Salt Shaker, Quick Back Down. Yeah.
Quick Kulo, to Back
Tomo,
Down.
Freak Elite, Goodies, yeah. Real Gangsters, Head Buster, Never Ever. Ooh. Never Ever.
This is an error.
No problem.
This is an error. Cool.
Wait. Some would you cool. say long? Never.
Never Ever. Never Ever. Get on my level.
Get
no
on
problem.
My level.
Some cut. Shorty Wanna Ride. What You Gonna Do? Lovers
Big
and Friends. Real
Big records.
Real In. Roll Call. Girl Fall. Boom. Presidential Touch. Okay. I'm a King. P Money Dines.
These
know what
big
that is.
Records, man.
I Don't Care. Featuring Ricky Martin. What? Tell Me When. You and Dat. Snap Your Fingers to the Snare.
Snap
Bojangles.
Your Fingers was big. Mm-hmm.
Go to Church, Gangsta Gangsta, Oh Yeah, Cyclone, That's Right, The Anthem, Throw Some D's Remix. I don't know if I've heard the remix.
Your
yeah.
Snap Your Fingers had D4L?
No.
Who
am I missing?
Yeah, hold on. Snap Your Fingers. E-40 and Sean E-40. P.
E-40, you're right. I'm sorry.
D's Remix with Rich Boy, Andre 3000, Jim Jones, Murphy Lee, Nelly, and Game. Turf Drop, That Baby Booty. That's How I Go. Get Up On It, Crazy. I Know You Want Me to Call. You know, it's Lil Jon. We all know Lil Jon. We don't really have to go.
I mean, compared to the other guys you had on here, I mean, is he got way more songs? I feel like this is a lot of songs for this guy.
As far as hits are concerned,
he got huge hit records.
I mean,
records,
I don't think like hit records and hit making, I don't think it can be anything less than a 10, probably, but I could be wrong.
John got bangers, and we were all around enough to.
Let's just go through it, though.
Let's
influence,
go through it.
Influence.
What's the first category?
Influence, impact on peers, and upcoming producers.
That's a tough one.
He had a wave,
ain't nobody came out with his style.
10 is the highest, by the way, Jay Brookins. Okay. 10 is the highest.
I'm probably going to go 6, and that's literally the point that I was going to have that Jay just said. Here, let me see if I can pull up this the screen here so you guys can see.
Because I think what Little John did, nobody, there's a few people who tried to come up behind it a little bit. Mm. But you couldn't do what Little John did.
Mm-hmm. Being outside during his wave, in my mind, I'm going back to think about it. You couldn't turn from hearing those records, man. Like
Oh no, Little John ran the radio for about a good 2-3 years.
Being out in clubs and stuff and hearing and all these joints, they were ringing off.
Yeah, I can remember like specifically thinking about listening to these when I was young and being like, this dude is gonna be on top of the game.
And he was kind of with the same sound.
I had my backpack still strapped on, so I was like, man.
I didn't like it.
He out here winning off the same beat every time.
Man,
no, because
I was in the club,
like,
and I was seeing what they did when his songs came on.
It was a riot.
I was like, man, look, I know he's doing the same beat over and over again.
It was working.
But this mug is working every single time. You got to give him his peas. Like, it worked. He carved out a sound.
I'm going to say low score for influence, man. I'm going to give him about a 3 for influence.
3?
Just all based off of what you have there. Like,
no, you're right.
He's going to score higher in different, you know, categories.
I love this.
I give him a 5 because nobody really followed up behind him.
Nobody
like
did.
That.
He really is the only definitive crunk sound that I'm
gonna take 6 because of what you just said, because he is the guy that really
there.
Shout out to Duke Deuce. Duke Deuce from Memphis always says.
But how much longer did it take for that to even show up?
Yeah,
I don't know, man.
I'm gonna go 5.
And he's definitely the face of Crunk, though. He's the face of Crunk, 100%.
Versatility.
That's all you can think about when you think about
100%.
Versatility.
How versatile
are,
are
the artists?
How versatile are the hip hop records?
Well, I might have to do a 3 here.
Well, wait.
Maybe
a
4.
Now, keep in mind, Jay, we excluding the R&B joints.
Just hip-hop.
Oh, okay.
We're talking about the hip-hop records.
Oh, then, yeah, it's kind of low.
I'm going to go 4.
I'll say 4, too.
I'll give him a 6. I know that sounds crazy, but I'm
Jay
give
Moore
him
being
six.
Generous with a 6. I'll say 5.
No, I'm not giving him a 6.
I'll say 5 and split the difference.
All right,
so collaborators, different hip-hop styles and artists, producers, works.
9.
He worked really?
With everybody.
He worked with everybody.
In hip-hop? 9.
Ricky Martin, 9.
Hip-hop?
Okay.
That's tough.
Mace, The Game, Lil Scrappy. Yeah.
Ludacris.
E-40.
Ludacris.
He worked with everybody was coming.
You guys are not counting.
He didn't work with Evidence.
He didn't.
You guys aren't counting R&B artists.
We're not counting R&B.
This is like hip-hop producers.
But at one point, come on.
Yeah, I know,
Jadakiss.
But he's still doing.
Jadakiss.
Hip-hop is a sound. He's still working with somebody else.
He's working with everybody. 9.
I feel like if
that would change some numbers below.
Exactly.
Okay.
So I feel like if it's a record where there's a hip hop verse on it, then that we can include that.
In that case,
is super loose, but
then records we got to use Ye.
Yeah, for sure.
Ludacris, that's a huge record.
Yeah, it's like a crossover R&B hip hop type
didn't
thing.
Do,
I'm gonna give him an 8 on that.
Didn't he do Lovers
and
Friends?
He did quick. He did. Didn't he do Quick to Back Down?
I don't even know.
He had to, bro.
10. 10. I'm
wow,
giving him a 10.
Jay.
Move my 9 from a 10. He he worked with Nas, Lil Scrappy, Ludacris.
No.
We're giving him a
Jay
10.
Well, then I'm going to move my 7 to a 6 then, because I just
Jay Moore has used all of his resources. He said a 10.
So, we got to put some respect on this man's
he
name.
He worked with everybody and gave him heat.
All right.
I don't feel like we've hit Lil Jon's high parts as far as categorical.
Yeah. This is where he falters.
What'd you say, Mike?
All right, man, so I'm going to go Jay Moore jumped out the gate. I respect it because I know he's genuine.
I'll do 7.
I'm going to go 8. I'm going to match Jay Brookins.
Yeah.
I'll go 8. All right, so big hits, cult classics.
I'll do 10 on that.
10 for me.
10.
Yeah, 10 for me. Yeah.
10 for me.
His
10
records
across the board.
His records are timeless at this point.
Yeah, those are timeless
records. I mean, realistically, he kind of embodied an entire genre within hip-hop.
100%.
And you can play his records for people who are not outside at the time, and they'll still go.
100%.
Consistency of quality material released.
Pretty high.
How long was his run?
I would say Lil Jon's run was probably... I'm talking about strong now.
2011. 2002 to 2011-ish. And he's had records after that, but that was kind of his run.
I would say probably, about 6 or 7 good years?
Give him a 9.
You gonna say nine?
There's
Jay Moore?
Just records. Look,
he was making records. I ain't gonna figure it out.
He figured out how to make records with everybody.
Okay, so if you're saying he's the crunk era, right? When the crunk era dies, are you still consistent? Like, who's like? Show me someone on here that was consistent, so I could kind of have something to gauge his consistency by.
All right, so take a person.
I mean, because we talked about Pharrell, but
Pharrell is consistent across the board.
We're talking more specifically about like how consistent their production quality has been
through their discography,
throughout their entire discog of when they have worked. You know, so realistically, if Lil Jon is putting out a record in 2022, if he still is, does it still, as far as quality is concerned, is it still
gonna
great?
Resonate? Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily mean that it doesn't necessarily
about,
mean that it has to be a hit. But
I'm talking about what he's
good.
Got on his sheet right now. From the time
he was consistent,
he was very consistent.
That's why nine.
If you stop making music, but when you were active, you were he was consistently making hits. Right. I'm gonna go ahead and give him a nine on that.
I like that, Jay. Okay. I'll go eight, but I like that, Jay. I like that.
Yeah, I'm gonna do just because of the amount of hits that he had. It's so hard to go lower than an eight.
Yeah, I respect the eight. So it says body of work.
How but I didn't really like a lot of those, so I'm going to go seven.
Okay, alone with the realness. Okay, body of work. How great is their overall body of work?
Nine. I mean,
nine minimum.
Nine.
Nine minimum. Yeah.
Final product. How often are the songs great from their beats?
Nine. I mean, sorry, I was outside. I saw what they did to them records.
Not for sure.
No, nah, I'm not mad at a nine. I'll follow Jay on a nine. He had hit records, bro. Yeah, hit records.
At one point, you gotta understand, it was Lil Jon and everybody else. I know
that's why I'm not mad.
From a
hip hop
standpoint, wait a second. Now,
I'm gonna go seven because I didn't enjoy a lot.
Okay,
of it.
And let's be real here, like. He had some duds, bro.
Yeah.
Like, there's some duds on that list that did
not go off.
It was a
formula. It was a formula.
Yeah.
Bro,
sometimes, but when it worked, it really, really worked. So I'm going to go ahead and give him seven on that.
Jay, I feel you on the duds because I remember them. So he got some duds, but those top tier
are so fire.
You know, number ones, those aces, those were through the roof back then. I'm going to give him his flowers on those.
Well, you know about Two Shorts, Burn Rubber.
Yeah, who said that? That's why I asked that?
No, that's what I said, because that's one of the songs.
No, I know about that.
So, I mean, that goes to that. But anyways, melodic elements.
Okay, so this is really low.
Melodic
because
elements use samples or original. How great were the melodic elements in his beats?
It's very low because it was the same thing over and over again.
I can't
Although
say
it worked.
He did the most with the least. I'm going to go ahead and give him that because that sound, if you hear that by itself, that That whatever he was using, bro.
That's what it is.
That's a trash sound, but he made that mug rock. Bro.
I'm a stickler for this.
So give him a seven.
I'm gonna go six
because
bro.
He had some joints where like he was really freaking.
Nah, I'm gonna go five because a lot of those melodies was mid, man. It was just over and over again.
But it was jamming.
It was jamming. But I'm being
so
petty.
Was
right
it
now.
A hard melody?
So that would go back. So that would go back to like how great. Were the songs great from their beats? So that would go back to like the previous one. Like if the overall song was dope, you know,
I said six.
You know what I mean?
A couple of the people that made joints to his joints are like they made them songs pop. Like the Usher joint. Like
yeah, that was Usher.
That was Usher.
I'm gonna do five. Drums.
Come on, man. Like, these are skeletons. Like,
I can't.
I'm being
really
a producer snob
can't
on this
even,
one.
Can't
like,
even remember
no,
a drum
four,
on there.
Four.
Yeah, these are.
It's just 808 in a cloud.
Bro, it's like a four.
I just feel like it's what came with the keyboard.
Let's go two.
This doesn't mean that it didn't. This doesn't mean that it didn't work. But it's like
no,
a three
I mean,
or
that's
a four.
What I'm saying. That's why I'm giving him a four.
Yeah, and I say some of these with the utmost respect that, man, he was like the soundtrack of my life for like.
He
out
really
of college,
was.
Going
no,
to clubs
absolutely.
And stuff like that.
Give
like,
me a three, Lone. I'm a three.
Mage's first three, and yeah, Jay Brookins has the lowest score on any of them.
Congratulations, man.
Hey,
but
man.
I'm not even.
I'm
mad.
Very
I'm not even
passionate
mad.
About these things. I wish I'm I could have been mad. Here for real. I was yelling and screaming at y'all when y'all was doing for real. I was like, man, I can't wait till I talk to him about for real.
He scored high. Yes, for real, scored high. He still got the highest.
I think some of y'all put some disrespect on some of his scores, though. I was like,
it's probably.
Oh, we should have been higher.
It's probably me,
bro. He's almost untouchable, man. He's almost untouchable.
He close.
His versatility.
But you know, we have Pharrell and the Neptunes as separate categories.
That's true as well.
Oh, wow. And wait till we get real goaty with Kanye and and Dr. Dre and Primo and RZA, like those are going to be
interesting. This is good television, people. where are these? You have these all separated out?
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
I've watched a couple of them.
Let's talk about John Score, though. Where did he finish?
We got a whole playlist on YouTube for him.
Yeah. Where did he finish, Long? 6.9?
6.9. It's respectable. You know, I mean,
he tied Missy.
All due respect.
I mean, five is what? Average?
Yeah. Anything below that is what we call a hog tie.
Yeah. We haven't had any full hog ties.
Yeah. So those are hog ties.
No R. Kelly's. But
I got to tip my hat to that man, bro. He did so much. With just like some basic things, man, and that in and of itself is like,
hey, Lil Jon got records,
sure. Praiseworthy.
Lil Jon got records.
Yeah, he does.
Cassio,
you lying if you say you don't. He got records. So salute to Lil Jon. He's definitely a legend. Facts.
Yeah, facts.
Jay Brookins, thank you for sitting in. We appreciate you. We have to have you. He trolling me with the sounds.
Oh, he got sounds. Damn, you just now busting the sounds out.
Man. Yeah, you know.
Lone is a savage with those. We appreciate you, bro. Thanks for sitting in.
Absolutely.
Shout out to the chat, everybody that was with us tonight. We appreciate you as always. NewOldHeads.com for all of the education that you need this year. You see it, like it, subscribe to it, pin it, whatever you got to do. We appreciate the support. And we'll see y'all next week. Peace.
Yeah.
Goodbye.